We continue broadcasting live in St. Joe. Chiefs training camp practice wrapped up about an hour and a half, 2 hours or so ago. Thanks to Isaiah Pacheco for joining us. If you missed our conversation, you'll hear that again coming up around 1:35. We asked him about his health. Obviously, last year, the injury heading into this season, not having to be held back by anything for the first time at camp since his rookie year. He went to a Bad Bunny concert in Puerto Rico. We got a lot of things in our conversation.
Dude, did a jersey change? Got invited down? Puerto Ricans, I guess, stand together is what he said. He's like, they always hang out together.
Our coverage here in St. Joe brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app. Find a location near you. I wonder if they have any of those ice cream Snicker bars, man. That sounds so good.
I'm going to get something cold.
Go to Break Time. Oh, yeah.
I want like a big cold drink, like filled with ice.
I mean, we've got ice and water.
Do you need?
You know what we haven't used yet at camp, and I think it's. Are we going to make it through another day? We haven't used the frog talks. Haven't reached that level.
You know what? Let's see.
I'm not feeling like I need it yet.
Oh, you're not ready yet?
No, I don't. I think tomorrow's going to be worse. It's warm. Don't get me wrong. It's humid, but like,
let's see how it would feel.
You got to pour some water on it. You got to pour a little water on that thing, and then
you got to wring it out
and let it get some air, and then it's going to be 30 degrees cooler or something
like that.
Let's
see how it feels.
This one, yeah, we used them last year. These are new.
Yeah, we did. Been a while, though, and I don't remember.
I'm sure it's going to feel good. I just don't know if I need mine yet.
You're just not sure if you're ready for it. You know, I'm going to take a chance. Let's see what we got. And then we can talk some more Royals baseball. Because one thing you and I had mentioned as it relates to signing Seth Lugo, and then we can mention as it relates to the other moves they've made, like Randall Grichuk, I will defend in this case. You can say you don't like that they didn't trade Seth Lugo, all this other stuff. I cannot understand that if you've been a sports fan in this town long enough, if you've been a small market sports fan long enough, you've been following these sports long enough, all these other things, why you wouldn't support a small market owner trying. He's trying. John Sherman is making an attempt at winning. He could sell. The team they traded Randall Grichuk from had the exact same record, the exact same number of games back gold from the wild card spot as they were. And what did they do? They shopped their whole damn team, and they're trading them all away. And what John Sherman did was, I think, look at a team that has a ton of control under contract, a ton of youth under contract, and rather than sell Seth Lugo, certainly a perfectly viable option that I thought they were going to do, Gold, they instead paid him mid-year in a signing that I don't think I've ever seen from a Royals team ever, for what it's worth, to keep him here so they can keep trying to win. That should be applauded, whether you think that in the long run it works or doesn't. Trying to win is not a bad thing.
No, it's refreshing. I mean, it really is. It's refreshing to see. Not many people thought an extension was going to happen. That's why so many people, including myself and you, I think, said they should trade him. Because if you're going to lose him, you got to get something for him. Well, turns out they were willing, he was willing, to get a 2-year extension done at $46 million plus a vesting option in year 3, depending on certain milestones, I'm assuming innings pitched, etc. I don't know what the details are on that. We can find that, I'm sure, out in the next day or so. JJ Piccola will be on the show tomorrow, by the way, we expect. So I am definitely happy to see, for the first time in I know at least our lifetime, the Royals have an owner that is willing to retain money, spend money to retain talent. Does it mean that every decision he makes is great? Of course not.
No, Hunter Renfro stunk.
Does it mean that the front office is bad in 1,000? Of course not. There are plenty of concerns. Outfield is still not addressed, and this makes it harder to address outfield because you don't have that asset to move. You're going to have to maybe do that with prospects in the offseason or otherwise. That's a conversation we got into earlier, and it's still valid. It's a concern. I also think Seth Lugo, this extension, it's a great deal, but you got to make the playoffs this year or next year. Otherwise, it was for nothing. And that's just reality of how you're judged as a front office and the expectation they should be held to. No question about it. But the actual idea, big picture, that the organization was willing to spend this money on a pitcher that was going to be one of the top free agents and the top trade asset, yeah, that's something we should all be happy about if you're from Kansas City, if you've seen what other smaller markets have done. Someone on the text line earlier was upset that we weren't expecting them to do this because they're a small market. I'm just telling you the reality is they haven't done it very often. And
in their entire history.
There's teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates that are doing the opposite. They're just happy getting their few bucks every year and being a terrible franchise. John Sherman at this point in time has said, I want to be competitive. I'm going to do what it takes to be competitive. nobody's saying
– he's not going full Padres with it or
they're
whatever,
they're not
going to
spend
right?
like the Dodgers. Duh. We've gone through the television contracts and reasons why.
Padres are the small market example.
You have to be smart about how you operate. But he wants to be competitive. Now, do you think it's just because of a stadium or whatever? Some of you have texted that in. I don't know the reason for it, but I'm going to go ahead and right this second acknowledge that since he's taken over – they've spent money. They've signed Bobby Witt Jr. to an extension. They've now given money to Seth Lugo. My guess is in the next year
Carlos Estevez.
They're going to have to make a decision on Bubich or Vinny or Mikel, and maybe that's the next move down the road.
Yeah.
But I like it from that standpoint. But looking beyond this year, this makes it harder to improve the outfield. It just does.
It does financially because here's the truth. You're spending more money on Seth Lugo, so it hurts financially, right? Hypothetically, less dollars to go around in order to pay the guy to do it. Okay, got it. So it could hurt you there. The other part, obviously, is that now you can't trade Seth Lugo for an outfielder. And to this point, the Royals have done a far, 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 far better job at identifying and developing pitching in this current regime since they've made their shift than they have been from the hitting perspective. Although I would point out, it depends on how you look at it, right? Vinny Pasquantino is obviously a very good professional hitter. Mikel's having a good year. Bobby Wood Jr. is a superstar. Let's just take him out of the mix,
sure,
at least for the meantime. But they don't have any guys coming up in the system right now other than Carter Jensen where you're like, here comes the next bat, and he's not an outfielder at the moment. And so, yeah, fixing the outfield problem, part of me thinks that maybe they're going like, okay, Grichuk, let's see how he looks. We have an option. Maybe it makes sense for Grichuk to come back next year, and we explore. Look, I'm not saying it's a great long-term option.
I mean, I think
I'm just saying between Caglione, if you had a veteran outfielder to go with it, and you said Kyle Isbell, and you just said, we'll be better, I've heard worse plans. And I know that the people who are saying Sherman is cheap is saying, he didn't spend any money in the outfield this year. And I'm like, he tried. And the options stunk.
Well, and that's my issue is, like, next offseason, I don't think we went through the names. Free agent outfielders are not great. So I think they have to, in the offseason, look at, if they really want to improve the outfield, they have to look at trading a Chris Bubich. They have to look at being willing to trade a Carter Jensen or Blake Mitchell. And in a minute, you mention a prospect, a lot of people freak out. You can't trade that guy. Look, if you want the team to be competitive, they have to be willing to trade prospects when you are in a small market. That is just reality. I don't like why we're acting like the small market is a terrible phrase to say. It's what they are. They're trying to not operate
like one, but there are still some restrictions.
That exist, and so you have to be more willing to be transactional, which they have since this current regime has taken over. As far as, you know, the rest of the season, the rotation, there was also some of it like, hey, someone's got to
pitch.
I mean, Cole Reagan's on the IL till at least mid-August. Chris Bubich, unfortunately, just placed on the IL with rotator cuff strain. I don't know if he'll pitch again this season. I don't know.
Hopefully
he does, but I don't know.
Hoping for an update today at 3 o'clock when JJ talks.
Michael Lorenzen, hopefully he's back in the next couple days. But right this second, as we sit today, Monday, July 28th at 1:10 in the afternoon, it is Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Noah Cameron, and Rich Hill, okay? That's your rotation.
Dallas
Keuchel still might be pitching on Wednesday. I don't know. They might have to call him up depending on Lorenzen's availability. Seriously, he might have to get called up.
Yeah.
Or they have to make a trade for some other random vet, Reynolds.
Jonathan Bolin got back up. It might be a bullpen
maybe
day.
Maybe it's Jonathan Bolin and Angel Zerpa and whatever type of day.
Probably is a bullpen day in all reality, but still, the problem still lies. You and I, before they had signed Seth Lugo to the extension.
Sex line says, can they trade Bubich for Cam Devaney?
You and I were at the Royals game together yesterday with the winner of our Bobby Wood Jr. lookalike contest.
Yeah, it was his birthday. He invited us out.
It was his birthday, and so he invited us out. We went out and celebrated his birthday out there at the Royals game. But while we were sitting there, before they had signed Seth Lugo to the extension, you and I both said, can you trade Seth Lugo and fundamentally put a rotation together right now? Like, I was asking questions about whether or not you had five pitchers to actually physically throw out there. It would have been the most towel-throwing-in moment if for a four-day stretch we had to watch Dallas Keuchel, a bullpen day, and Rich Hill toss. I'd have been like, oh no. And instead, for maybe the first time in the entire time I can remember being a Royals fan in which a team was mediocre, they're trying to win.
Yeah. No, it's great to see.
Still trying to get a playoff spot.
It obviously sends a great message to the clubhouse too.
I mean, if
you're on that team, you're saying your front office is not giving up on the season. I think it's clear. I still don't want them to go and buy rentals that are giving up legit prospects.
No.
But if they want to make another move like this, where you're giving up an Andrew Hoffman type, with all due respect to him, or Cam Devaney, those moves to get better this year, small increment, that's fine. I have no problem with that, and that's what they've tried to do. They've tried to maybe hope they can get a little bit better in the outfield without jeopardizing the future. I'll play that game all day long, and that's where they're at. All right, we mentioned Clark Hunt. Spoke earlier today, Chiefs owner, about the stadium front, also just some of the extensions he's handed out. Here's some of what he had to say from St. Joe.
Good. How are you? Great to see everybody. We're excited to be in week two of our training camp here at Missouri Western. I want to say thank you to the staff at Missouri Western. Dr. Kennedy and her entire staff do such a great job of hosting us every year. We love being up here in St. Joe and appreciate the community and the opportunity that we have to come together and lay the foundation for the upcoming season. Certainly with the season not finishing like we wanted it to last year, I sense a urgency on behalf of everybody associated with the team on getting here, getting on the field, and getting prepared for the upcoming season. That'll open it up.
First, since Chip was just here, we're asking about contract stuff. You guys have done a lot of big deals this offseason. Is Trent McDuffie a priority to get an extension done? Is that something you guys would like to do before the season or afterward?
Yeah, well, we were excited to get the guys done that we did this offseason, and I think one of the themes you saw was rewarding players that we had drafted. I'm a big believer that you build football teams through the draft, and we're lucky that Brett and his team have done such a great job, and we have so many players who played at a high level and that we would like to keep long-term. I don't want to speak specifically about any one player, but it is a priority for us to keep the nucleus of the team together.
How close do you feel like that you are as far as making a decision on a future stadium, and what are the obstacles that right now are in the way towards making that final decision?
Yeah, I know Mark Donovan spoke to you all a week ago and shared that we've made a lot of progress, and that's absolutely true, and that progress is on both sides of the state line. We're grateful to have two really good options. I don't want to get into how close we are to making a decision, because I found over time with stadium situations that until they're done, they're not done. There's a lot of work, a lot of moving parts, and we're working through those. Certainly, I would say we feel an urgency to bringing the process to a conclusion, but that doesn't mean I can will it to happen in any specified period of time.
When you say there's two great options, is that simply Missouri and Kansas, or is that a new stadium in Kansas versus staying at Arrowhead, Missouri?
Well, I think if we were to move to Kansas, it would obviously involve a new stadium. And our priority on the Missouri side has been a renovation of GAHA Field at Arrowhead. So those are the two primary options.
If people look from the outside on that, I mean, obviously the two projects would cost a different amount of money. The states have both done different things. There's still an obstacle in the county on the Missouri side you maybe have to get a vote for. Generally speaking, it seems like it was probably more money out of the Hunt family's pocket to move to Kansas, but an easier path without having to get a vote, and then a little less money to renovate. Is that about right? And are those the factors that are going to help you make the decision? Like, how big a factor is getting that vote done, and how much money is going to cost you guys?
Yeah. The two projects obviously cost different amounts. That's absolutely true. And you know, from a family standpoint, we're not really, you know, focused on our financial commitment. We're more focused on getting it right, picking the option that's best for our fans and one that's best for the community and best for the organization for the next several decades.
Clark, this is probably leading up to the most momentous decision you guys have made since your dad brought the team here. Are you able to describe how the family dynamics will work when the four of you are, you know, set to break it all down and make a decision? I mean, how does that go?
Yeah, Vahe, you're exactly right that it's a very big decision, and it's one I certainly want my family's input on. It's something that'll affect our family for multiple decades and maybe several generations. So having broad input is really important. You know, I'm hopeful that the decision will be clear-cut for us. I don't know that it will be. when we get to that point. But certainly having a collaborative process is important.
And just in regard to that, Clark, one of the thoughts just, I know when we first started talking about this, you were talking a lot about the emotion instead of mentality. How have you balanced that going forward? Has that evolved at all for you and how you study the situations?
Well, I think anybody who's been coming to Chiefs games for decades understands what a special stadium GHA Field at Arrowhead is. And, you know, it's fun being here at training camp and getting to interact with our fans. And I certainly hear from them in terms of their thoughts. And many of them have grown up, you know, going to games with their dad, their mother, their family. And so it's a very special place for them. So that'll be part of the calculus for sure.
Some renovations to Arrowhead Stadium. You guys have already started some with the seats being removed and put back in for the World Cup. How ready will the stadium be for the new season?
Yeah, so that process has been going on for a couple of years now. This summer was really the bulk of the work where we had to take out a number of rows of seats on the north side of the stadium so that we can have the proper width for a World Cup pitch. And we pretty much have that complete, and the stadium will be back in its normal configuration come late August when we host our preseason game here.
Hey, Clark, Rick Berhalter mentioned that you guys have new beds in your dorms this year. I just wonder how that came about and the reason for that.
We're always looking for ways to improve the amenities for our players. Certainly sleep is really important, particularly at training camp. Something you've probably heard the players talk about over the years is, you know, how challenging it is to sleep in a dorm room. And I'll second that because when I'm here, I sleep in the dorm room with them. And a number of our veteran players in the past have brought in their own mattresses. And we were able to partner with a local furniture store this year to provide mattresses for all the players and the staff. And having spent a few nights here, I'll say the sleeping's definitely better.
Clark, in getting that new deal with the Great Western done, obviously it was big because you've been training here at St. Joe for so many years. How important was it to show the fans here locally that they still care, we want to come back, we want to keep doing training camp here, and just have that Chiefs support and still love the community has to stay here?
Yeah. Well, this is our 15th year hosting training camp here out of the last 16 years, and the experience has been fantastic for the organization. First of all, starting with the football team, I know you've heard Coach Reed talk about how important he thinks it is in terms of bringing the team together to be up here in this environment. The facilities are outstanding. The folks in the cafeteria do a great job with the food. So it's been an all-around win for the football team. But I also really like it in terms of the opportunity it provides our fan base to attend practices. And it was great to see so many fans out here.
Personally, I go with Sparkle.
Or really across the bi-state region. And having the fans here, I think, helps the players from an intensity level at practice, and then also, you know, creates a very special environment where the fans and players are able.
All right, so that was Clark Hunt, Chiefs owner, talking. Well, JT, what are you doing back there, man? That was an interesting gasp, moan, something from your computer.
I thought I heard like a sparkle wand or
that
something.
That was a sparkle wand. I thought, like, I checked out the whole ad, but I must have missed the first second of it.
I don't know what it's. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
It happens. Like, what are you searching on the company computer?
It seemed like a good time for us to come back live here.
That's not great. Yeah, that was not great.
Anyway, I'm giving you a hard time. Look, a couple things. One, I got to point out because I think it's hilarious. So we heard Clark Hunt talk about the stadium there.
Yeah.
Basically, urgency, but also, like,
we're urgent, but we can't make it urgent.
Correct. Okay.
Like, you can, because you're the one making the decision.
And he talked
fine.
About what we already kind of knew. Their preference, if they stay in Missouri, is to renovate. Kind of seems like the obvious situation there. If they go to Kansas, of course, it'd have to be a new stadium. All right. What I love is our text line. And this is why it's great. And it speaks to, depending on where you're at on the state line, like what you're wanting to have happen, we have two texts back to back, I kid you not. So one text from an 816 area code. They ain't going to Kansas, boys. The next text, not from a Missouri area code. see you at the Legends. So I just,
which one?
I just love.
Should I see you at the Legends, or we're not going to Kansas?
I just love that back to back. People took it different ways. I don't think you can take what he said to tell you which way they're leaning at all. I mean, I think it's the same scenario we've been in. Like,
I think by October they will announce that they're going to go to a ballot measure. If that ballot measure passes, they will stay in Missouri. I think if it doesn't pass, or they don't think it will pass, so they never go to the ballot measure, they will go to Kansas. That's really where I am left in the stuff. I will say, and this always goes to the same thing, it's always like, we don't care how much money we're spending. Well, then spend it all. Like, I hate that part of it. That's just disingenuous from Clark, honestly, to say, we're not worried about how much money each person is giving us. We're not worried about our family's financial commitment. Well, then pay for all of it if you're not worried about your family's financial commitment. You obviously are worried about the amount of money you have to spend. It's a real thing, and that's okay to be caring about it.
It's an element.
But, like, you know, we don't have to pretend like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and look, I don't think he was saying that literally. Like, I think you took it literal, like that.
Yeah.
We don't care what the... No, that's not their number one.
He's saying they're worried about getting it right.
Look,
getting the stadium decision right. And I think that is something that weighs on them a little.
He's saying it's not their number one issue. Now, you and I both know they are a business. And so they're going to do what's best for them as a business while also weighing what's best for their legacy, their family, and for the fans. I think all that is true. Now, if we split up a pie chart, yeah, I think the financial end is a huge chunk of the pie.
Yeah.
Of course. What did you want him to expect? I mean, what did people expect him to say?
No, you can just say, like, hey, how much money? Like, I know you don't want to just come out there and be like, whoever gives us the most money wins. Because I actually, and funny enough, I don't think that that's what's happening here. I think if it were up to just the people on the business side, they would have already announced their move to Kansas.
Right.
I think if Mark Donovan was the only person making this decision isolated in a room, they'd already be in Kansas and have made that decision. So I'm not saying it's nothing about
money. And I still think that's where they end up.
Money still matters.
I still think they end up in Kansas, but Clark Hunt, because of the family aspect of it,
I think
he still is heavily considering renovating a venue that is very, very special to him and to a lot of fans. Let's not kid ourselves. There's a lot of people I know listening that want them to desperately stay at Arrowhead. We've gone through the both sides of it and the decision why you would want to stay versus why you wouldn't. People don't agree with me. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to put a ton of public money into a stadium at the age of Arrowhead.
And that
doesn't mean I hate Arrowhead, okay? But that I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. But I don't think we're finding out like anytime soon. So
I think what Nate Taylor told us between Halloween and Thanksgiving was his guess.
I think it'll be December at the earliest.
I think it's 2026. I don't know why. Maybe I'm way off pace.
I still think they're waiting on the Royals too. So
I do. I think the Royals have to make their decision first before the Chiefs make their move. And look, I still think the Royals. I think the Royals are close to the end of 2026, aren't they? At this point, like, I mean, the fact that like a month ago or less or whatever they dropped that term sheet on Clay County as a possible option, it's like, I don't think the Royals know what they're going to do either. I feel like they're trying to decide between Kansas and what is the, not the opposite, but very far from the original dream, in my opinion, and Clay County, which would be like almost kind of the dream, but really not the same, and we need public money. And like, is there this secret money that Missouri or the city can give them that doesn't include, that is a downtown site? Like, it doesn't feel like this decision's happening this year. I'll happen to be wrong.
Yeah.
I thought they would have had the decision by now, obviously, and it's been much slower than that.
Up next, we will get to what's trending, plus our conversation with Isaiah Pacheco exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan.
Trending.
Number one on what's trending, we continue to broadcast live in St. Joe. Day number two of padded practice for Chiefs camp. Of course, our coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Same story on the O-line today. Left tackle, first-team reps continue to be Josh Simmons. On the right side, Jalen Moore and Juwan Taylor continue to rotate in. No injuries to report, so that's great news. We know Christian Fulton continues to be on the PUP list. He had some fluid drain out of his knee, I believe, this offseason. So nothing new on that front, which is actually good news, as we haven't been dealing with that kind of stuff so far at camp.
Next up on what's trending, busy day for the Royals. First, they got the 4-1 win yesterday in their back-to-back series wins, and getting a 2-1 series win against the Guardians. They'll start another series tonight at home at Kauffman Stadium. Plus, they officially announced their two-year extension with Seth Lugo is inked. 2 years, $46 million, a vesting option for a possible third year as well. He'll be remain a Royal. I think JJ and Seth Lugo will talk about that deal coming up today at 3. I imagine you'll hear part of that on The Drive.
Next on What's Trending, news in college football. Colorado head coach Deion Sanders and his medical team announced at a press conference today that he had a bladder tumor that has been removed. He is now cured from cancer. Obviously, very scary situation. Pleased to hear that they believe they have obviously removed the tumor successfully and cured him from cancer. He spoke pretty honestly and passionately just about his feelings of the last year or so with some health battles. For college football, he's a polarizing figure. He's great for the sport. And I know some people obviously have issues with how he operates, but no matter what, obviously amazing news to hear that he at least has made it through this. As someone texted in, you know, the bladder cancer and just how severe and the survival rates are not great for that. So to see that he's cured from cancer is amazing.
He talked about, you know, making sure you visit the doctor and get checked. And then, yeah, again, and he was also like Deion. He said, I'm back, baby, when he was talking about coming back to coaching and made a Depends joke based on the bladder stuff as well. So sense of humor and gravitas certainly not gone from Deion Sanders. Next up on What's Trending, Emmanuel Clase is on the non-disciplinary paid list by MLB. That is as a part of an ongoing investigation involving a second Cleveland Guardians player that was already underway in Luis Ortiz. That related to sports wagering. Obviously, that means they think there are some pitches or multiple moments in which there is some suspicious betting activity as it relates to moments Emmanuel Clase was in the game. Some think it's because of micro-betting or some of these early pitch 0-0 nobody on counts where it seems like he's throwing a higher than normal number of balls and getting behind some of these hitters. So he's under investigation. He'll be paid while on the non-disciplinary paid list, but they are currently investigating him for allegations related to sports wagering.
It also is a big deal for the trade deadline. I mean,
yeah, huge impact.
Clase was absolutely somebody some teams, much like Seth Lugo, these are two pitchers in the last 24 hours teams thought they were going to be able to go trade for, teams that were contenders. Lugo and Clase, and neither one's available, both for very different reasons. For the Royals, of course, because of a contract extension, but Clase due to a gambling investigation.
Clase this year, by the way, has 24 saves and a 3.23 ERA. His ERA was better before he blew that save against Jonathan India in the night the other night when he hit the three-run shot against him. That was probably the last time he appeared in a game. Yep. But in his major league career, he's appeared in 366 games and has posted an incredible 1.88 ERA. I mean, he's one of the league's best relief pitchers. And he is now being investigated by Major League Baseball for sports wagering.
Lastly on What's Trending, don't forget, coming up on Friday, August 8th, we will be live out at Hollywood Casino. So will The Drive. From inside that sports book there, we'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Mynheu football, plus a pair of Chiefs-Colts tickets. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X, and enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 in pin cash. And then on August 8th, every hour from 10 to 6, your chance there. That is What's Trending on Cody and Gold.
Clase was once suspended for PEDs, too. Do you think
he's
just, like, always a guy looking for an angle?
Oh,
he was. In 2020, suspended for PEDs.
Yeah, I have no idea until we know more details. I would say, once again, that there are things that get flagged very easily now if there is a regular betting activity. You're not going to just sneak by. That just doesn't exist if you're betting through legal channels now. It doesn't. Like, I think we'd all be foolish to think that this wasn't happening a long time ago. Sports betting has not just been around for five years. For some reason, people forget that whenever we talk about these stories. They're like, see, this is why it shouldn't be legal. The only reason why you know about it is because it's legal. So we'll find out the details on it, but not good, obviously, for the Guardians, for Clase, and not great for Major League Baseball. And we'll see if there's any bit of pullback on micro betting when it comes to Major League Baseball in the future. Earlier today from Chiefs training camp, we were joined by Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco, who, of course, is coming off an injury in a season that he did not want to have. Now he's healthy heading into camp, and we opened our conversation talking about a concert he went to. We are now joined by Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco. Our camp interview is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. Isaiah, great to have you on the show, man. Good to have you back. I got to ask an issue before we get into any football stuff. Bad Bunny concert in Puerto Rico. When was that? I saw some photos from that.
Yes,
you did a little jersey swap.
Yes, it was a beautiful experience with the fam down there. And also, we got invited to attend the Bad Bunny concert from Bad Bunny and his team. And so it was a great experience. And not only that, we did the jersey swap in his locker room before his big game day. So that was right there for him squeezing me in there and getting a little session in. It was phenomenal.
Is he a Chiefs fan? Yeah, like, so how's the connect? Like, why is he like, I mean, Isaiah Pacheco? You know,
he's Puerto Rican. You know, man, we love on each other and it's family. And not only that, he just did a movie with Travis, so you know, hey, maybe.
All right, did you see Happy Gilmore 2 yet?
Yes, I did.
I saw you had a sneak preview.
Yeah, we had the sneak preview. It was awesome, bro. It was hilarious.
What was there was 70 cameos in the thing. So, other than Travis's, is there a cameo that you actually liked the most?
I liked all of them. They were sweet, bro.
When he set up the sneak peek, did he have like popcorn and candy and stuff?
Yes, we had popcorn.
Okay,
snacks,
I want to know.
Pizza. It was a big party.
I wanted to make sure Travis took care of you guys.
Yeah, he set it up, man. It was beautiful, and they were also handing out Happy Gilmore hats and socks. Also, the hockey puck. Yeah.
Oh, you got the putter too?
Yeah, the putter, man. Trav has it. It was sweet, man.
When's the last time you watched the original one, though?
Probably 2 years ago,
Okay.
years ago.
Okay.
Not too long ago.
Okay. Not terribly long. When you look at what the offense can do this year, Travis, obviously, people were talking about, like, the kind of shape he got into and all that stuff, the explosiveness and all this stuff. Like, it's hard to tell sometimes early part of camp. I know you guys are focused on it, but how much more explosive do you think the offense can be this year?
Oh, it could be very explosive. It comes down to the practices right here during OTAs and in training camp. Bringing all those little details that we've learned and just kind of complexing them all together and showing everyone how hard we've been working as a team, as a unit.
How are you feeling? I mean, last year, we all know the unfortunate situation with the foot injury and everything. I was in the locker room when I think you kind of found out the news. We saw how emotional you were, understandably so. You come back at the end of the year. A lot of people from the outside are like, all right, he's not 100%. How close were you actually to 100% when you came back last year?
I was pretty close. Just wanted to get back with the team, do whatever I could do to get back. And that's just a busting my tail in the training room. And, you know, whatever the team needed me to do during the moment, I was going to be that player that, you know, that executed. So this year, you know, feeling great off the roll. Not too much ball played last year. So, therefore, this offseason has been my camp. And coming into from the OTAs to this training camp is like – three camps for me, going from OTAs to home training camp, and then now I'm back here. So three training camps for me, and I'm just getting excited for the season.
I guess, is this the first full camp you've actually had in a bit? Weren't you wearing the yellow jersey last year a little bit?
Yes, I was. Yeah. I was in the yellow jersey for a little bit. So first full camp since rookie year, and feeling great. Great fans and stands. It's phenomenal.
I think as a player, you never know like where a team's thinking or outside of that. A lot of people are like, well, there's like a ton of draftable running backs. In the first three or four rounds, people thought maybe they'd bring in some more competition on your end, but didn't. Do you take that as like a sign of confidence in you, right? They waited to the seventh round. They could have taken one early, and they're like, no, Isaiah's our guy.
They drafted a guy. You know what I mean? He's here, and whatever he brings to the table, we're going to build off of it, compete, bring competition to the room, and have fun with it. If he needs to learn something, I'm going to be the older guy in the room, of course, to help him detail, pinpoint the work. But most importantly, we're out here, we're competing, we're getting each other better.
I was going to ask what you learned from Kareem Hunt, since you had mentioned, like, you're going to be the guy who teaches the young guy. What did you learn from him last year coming in?
You know, just being in the moment and taking your time is being patient. That's what it all comes down to, being patient during those big game moments and, you know, being relaxed. And Kareem, he was pretty patient during those moments, you know, where he was able to get in or somebody subbing in. So that's what it's all about, being prepared for the moment.
We're talking to Isaiah Pacheco here on 96.5 The Fan. You've been pretty vocal about your goals in the past. Some players keep it internal. You've said, I think, 1,000 yards.
Yes, sir.
I know you come very close. Is that goal number one other than winning the Super Bowl this year? Where would you put your goals this year?
Well, obviously, we take it one game at a time. And by taking it one game at a time, you can get to 1,000 yards. You know what I mean? You focus on the task at hand, and that's getting vertical, winning the downs. And 4 yards every play, you win the down. That's what it's about.
When you look at what other guys do in the offseason, we learned the other day, Xavier Worthy picked up golf, is what he told us. What did you pick up anything new this offseason? Get into the old hobbies? What were you into?
This offseason, I was with Play Skills, Everett Wormley, which is a wide receiver coach. And he was my wide receiver at Rutgers University, and I was a running back. Also my roommate. So this all translated, correlating down to his after football relations. And for me, just – finding somebody there in my corner to help me get better at was it catching the ball, wide receiver skill set, and then being transitioned into the running back drills, making it all pinpoint each other and just being fluent.
Would you want to get into coaching one day? You mentioned, like, your former roommate. Do you like that version
of
it?
Yeah, absolutely. I love coaching. I just love being around the ball, the game. You know what I mean? It's what it's all about. If you love it, you understand it.
You brought up Rutgers. We know you're a Rutgers guy. I don't know how you feel about them heading into the season. For whatever reason, I feel like it comes up on our show, too. And Rutgers is always that team whenever anybody talks about conference realignment. They're like, that's the team that feels out of place. I don't know why your school takes a lot of heat. Admittedly, I take some unfair shots at Rutgers, I think, at times, too.
Yes, it's fine. You know what I mean? It comes with the game, man. And, you know, when you put yourself in those situations, it's how you overcome it. You know, you're either going to come out on top or you're going to learn from it, you know?
You're proud of the alma mater, though, right? I mean, do you go back
Absolutely.
There a couple times
yes,
a year, catch
it,
a game?
I love it, man. You see it on my arm, man. Go hard or go home, New Jersey, man.
Man, when you were choosing schools, like we always go through those things, and like I see it like on paper, who were you between besides Rutgers? When you were trying to decide,
yes.
was it them, always them, or what were you thinking?
No, it was Syracuse and Pittsburgh. Yep, Pitt University and Rutgers. Yeah, down to those three. So I was either going to Syracuse or Rutgers or Maryland. And I was like, nah, I went to Maryland for the training camp. I already had the offer, but I'm like, nah, wasn't my fit. Went to Syracuse too far. Hella snow. Hour and 30 minutes away from New Jersey. Was Rutgers University, which is Big Ten. Now you get to play the biggest teams and conferences, you know, in America. And I was all for. I was looking forward to showing what Isaiah Pacheco can do and on that Rutgers team, playing with my teammates.
What do you think Brazil's going to be like?
It's going to be awesome, phenomenal. It reminds me of, you know, just getting prepared for that Germany game and just having that thought of training mindset that we're going somewhere for a business trip.
I know Andy always tries to, like, keep it so uniform. Is he good in those, even on the international trips? Do you guys get a little flavor of, like, we're in Germany, we're in Brazil, let's get a little taste of the country, or, like you said, business trip?
It's business trip. You know what I mean? When you got 22 guys going there, which is each side of the ball, with that mindset of we're going to get the job done, that's what it's all about. We're not going there for all the shenanigans and all the extra stuff. Coming there with the mind, the focus, and not even that, just the fans itself, and showing them how hard we work.
I'm sure the answer is no, but do you ever get tired of, like, seeing all the different 10 jerseys? There's one here, there. Like, I mean, right in front, you never get tired of it, right?
No, you never get tired of seeing a 10 jersey. I was at Rutgers, and when I was a freshman, I was number 10. And then I couldn't get it when I got here. Obviously, Jarrett McKinnon had number 1. So I went back to 10. And, you know, that feeling of being back in this uniform brings me back to the beginning of where I started my college career. The youngest guy in the room, not knowing things, so just figuring it out.
Last one for you, Josh Simmons. He stood out. I mean, it's hard to miss the guy, number 1. What's it like? I know it's very early, but just seeing him out there running behind him, maybe towards the left side.
Awesome, bro. Great experience. For him, you know, just being together, it's all about staying together, finding that detail on the work, and pinpointing the accountability with each other. It's all about being accountable, and that'll make each other play harder for each other.
Isaiah, appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Absolutely.
Good to see you. So that was Isaiah Pacheco earlier today with us. Our training camp interview is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com.
It's always good to talk to Pacheco. And I think Nate Taylor had said, like, hey, you don't need to have goals like 1,000 yards anymore. But at the same time, I think it speaks to the goal of what we heard a guy like Vinny say this year, which is the goal of being available for 17 consecutive games.
Yeah.
And then stretching that availability into being available and healthy for a team in the playoffs and in another Super Bowl race and in another playoff run and everything else in between. Because I don't have any doubt in my mind that if he plays 17 full games, he'll get to 1,000.
He's come very close.
Yeah, his rookie year. I mean, look, that's not even a problem or a question. And also, not how I want their offense to run and not how Andy Reid wants their offense to run. They are never going to be a run-first team with Andy Reid. I know that Kareem Hunt once led the league in rushing under Andy Reid. It also happened to be in a year in which they scored 35 points a game. Patrick Mahomes threw for 50 yards and 5,000 touchdowns. So, yeah, sure, if you're the byproduct of one of the five best offenses in NFL history, you can have 1,500 yards. But if you're healthy, you'll get 1,000.
Well, and he needs to stay healthy because I know everybody loves Kareem Hunt and what he did at the beginning of last season. And Andy talked about him having a full offseason as well. But it looked like he wore down pretty quickly last year. And so if Pacheco were to go down for a significant period of time, whoever, we don't know what the running back room is fully going to look like, but we can
assume it's the
Hunt,
order it is
it's
now.
Hunt, Mitchell, and Smith.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you feel about that if it's a stretch of four games or so and that's what they got to run through.
It's not my favorite. They got through it last year, but it's not my favorite.
They did.
No. Same reason I want them to draft a running back.
And then, of course, can they just be a better short yardage running team? Now, we know at times it's going to be 3rd-and-1 and they're still going to pass. Okay, that's Andy Reid. They're going to be 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, and they're still going to pass. And Patrick Mahomes is your best player, so hard to argue. But you would like the ability on a 4th-and-1 at the 1 yard line to be able to hand the freaking ball off and get the yard, right? Like,
yep.
I understand they're not going to do that every time, nor should they, but if you had to, can you do it? Or do you have to get really creative and quote unquote gimmicky to make it happen? You're not going to take that element completely out of your offense, but you definitely have to have some element of success there, belief that you can have success there.
I will say that is one of the things, other than the deep passing game. If they really want to improve on offense, you know, they can get some more points called being better in the red zone and being better in short yardage. Like, we talk about the deep ball all the time. Yeah, sure, if they connected on a few more Xavier Worthy deep throws, yeah, their offense is better. Dude, if they had just been better on 3rd and 4th and 1 last year in the red zone, they were bad
down,
red zone
third down overall conversion, they were good. They just didn't have many third.
No, they were fine at having drives. They weren't good at drives and that last yard when they needed it down in the red zone, you know? And so, like, that part is just
the Chiefs had the second or third best, I think it was, third down conversion rate in football, 50.9%, 48.5%. The Bucs had 50.9%.
It just seemed like they were better in the 3rd and 10 than the other, and they were also 21st in red zone
That's
scoring
the
percentage.
Issue. Yeah.
A little bit of news in the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting Broncos and wide receiver Cortland Sutton have reached an agreement on a 4-year, $92 million extension.
He's their guy. I mean, there's no question about that.
That is offensively high for Cortland Sutton. And it's only $23 million a year.
That's the market for wide
receivers, that's
man.
What it is. That's what an average wide receiver gets paid.
That's just the market.
An average wide receiver gets paid a cool $100 mil for 4 years.
He's their number one pass catching option.
He is.
He's 29 years old. He's had two 1,000-yard seasons. And that'll get you a contract. Now, we haven't seen the exact details either, as you know.
Oh, it could be funny money.
Yeah.
I saw earlier we talked at some point about Terry McLaurin's deal. Adam Schefter was saying on Pat McAfee that he is not likely to accept anything lower than, at bare minimum, was the way he put it essentially, DK Metcalf's deal that he got with Pittsburgh, which was $33 million a year.
Yeah.
So, like, is that what Terry McLaurin's worth at 30 years old? You pay him $35 million a year?
For his age, it's probably a contract you're not going to feel great about in a couple years. But you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. You have someone that's been the face of your franchise. It's been a team player. He smartly now is holding in, not holding out, so he's not getting fined.
He came in and
he showed up, said, my ankle's bugging me. They put him on the pup list. He then went and signed autographs with fans for 45 minutes. He's not stupid. And then
that is just good business.
Oh, it's very smart.
Well done.
Very smart.
Terry McLaurin, playing the game.
And then he spoke to the media and said, you know, he wasn't attacking the organization or anything. He just obviously said he wants to be out there with the guys and stuff. And he's got the fans on his side. We'll see how it plays out. That tweet, that report you mentioned from Schefter, that's clearly coming from McLaurin's agent. He won't come and play without it being this number. That's all agent.
Yeah.
That's all agent.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us today from St. Joe. We're back at it from training camp tomorrow. We'll be talking about how the Royals start this series against the Braves a little bit as well, plus any more fallout from what has happened with this Cleveland Guardians gambling investigation as well. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. The Drive with CDOT up next. Laying whiskey down, they say brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. The